you now to talk about the life of the Baal Shem Tov. Again, the life of the Baal Shem Tov, meaning that which the facts that's mixed in with some of the legends that are told by Chassidim who very much admired the Baal Shem Tov, and therefore, as I told you, I'm not going to be getting into that whole line of stories, of wonder stories about the Baal Shem Tov. There are hundreds of them, and some of them come from more reliable sources than others. But we're going to talk about what we know, based primarily upon the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, which is the earliest gathering of historical information, the earliest collection of historical information regarding the Baal Shem Tov's life. This was the first printed in the year 1815, and even though the Sefer wasn't written through the eye of an academician, it wasn't written academically, historically, it was written by a chassid who was filled with admiration for the Baal Shem Tov. Nevertheless, historians have revealed that, to a large extent, the facts that we find in the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov regarding certain events in the Baal Shem Tov's life and the development of the Baal Shem Tov, that the historians have verified that a great majority of the material that's found in the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, in that respect, that category of material is to be trusted. So it's largely based upon the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, but not only. We'll speak about some other sources as well. The day of his birth, just to prove to you that there's so much mystery here, the day of his birth and the year of his birth is unknown. It's unknown. Generally, the biographers of the Baal Shem Tov have generally concluded that he was born in the year 1700. That the Baal Shem was born in the year 1700. However, in Chabad sources, which in this respect it seems that the Chabad source is the older one, in Chabad sources, it's the year of the birth of the Baal Shem Tov is listed at 1698 in Chabad Sfarim. He was born in a village called Okop. It's written in Ukrainian, OKOP. It's a fortress city which is near Kamenets Podolsk in the area now that is called the Ukraine. This was a very tiny village, and a village for which we'll see that the Baal Shem Tov in general did not have such fond memories of growing up in that village. But that's where the Baal Shem Tov was from. According to accepted legend history, the Baal Shem Tov was born to his parents when they were extremely old. Extremely old means that, according to many sources, the father of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Eliezer, was close to 100 years old, and his mother was also over 90 years old when he was born. The famous story, the story of the Baal Shem Tov's birth. Again, there are slight differences in how this story was transmitted over the decades. There are some slight differences, but to a large extent, this story has been preserved. Without going into all the pratim, just the basic and famous meiser that's related to the events leading up to the birth of the Baal Shem Tov, there was a pogrom in that area. There was a pogrom, and we know that the father of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Eliezer, was taken. His mother, Sarah, was able to get away and hide in a neighboring village, but Eliezer, the Baal Shem Tov's father, was taken captive, and he was dragged away to a distant medina. It doesn't say exactly where, but he was taken to a distant place, and he became a servant of a certain minister of a king. He became a servant. He became a shlepper. The father of the Baal Shem Tov was in this place, and this Mishnah Lamelech, as we're told in the Shivchei Baal Shem, the Mishnah Lamelech, this minister of the king, was an important minister of the king of that area, which might mean a nobleman. It doesn't necessarily mean the king of a whole medina, but it could be. It was a very important pirate, a landowner, or a nobleman. This person had tremendous, tremendous love. Had tremendous love for Eliezer. You know that they say we have a tradition that every anti-Semite likes at least one Jew. Even the biggest anti-Semite has one yid, one Jew, one mashke that he likes. So it was the good fortune that the Baal Shem Tov's father was a servant of this particular melech, the Mishnah Melech, this minister of the nobleman. And it happened once, we're told in the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov, it happened once that king or that nobleman was preparing to fight an important battle, an important war, and he needed an eitzah from his Mishnah Melech. He asked his minister, this was sort of his minister of defense, he asked him for some advice, some strategy regarding this war. And the Mishnah Lamelech, the servant of the minister of the king, did not have a good idea how to approach, what strategy to use in this battle. He didn't know what to do. And it happened that night, the father, this is obviously, this the intervention here from Hashem is very, very clear, that night, the father of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Eliezer, had a dream. And in that dream, he was told an eitzah, he was told a piece of advice, an eitzah, a strategy for the milchama, for his master's war. Sure enough, in the morning, he told this advice to his master, who was the minister of defense, whatever. And the fellow went immediately to the king, and he told him his strategy. And the king was overwhelmed. He didn't even know that the minister had such brilliance in him. He was so impressed. And he said, "I know that this was not your eitzah, because I don't know you to be such a brilliant fellow. And tell me the truth. Who is the one who gave you this advice?" So it happens because this minister liked Rabbi Eliezer. So the minister said, be careful. So the minister said that, you can hurt your foot here. He said that I'll tell you the truth, I have this Jew that's working for me, his name is Eliezer, and he was the one that gave this advice. The king said, I have to meet this man. And he was brought to the king, or to the, whoever that was, the nobleman. And the father of the Baal Shem Tov was promoted, he was taken away from the mansion of the prime minister, of the minister, and he was given a job, mamish, in the armor in the palace of the king. And he was working there for the king. And it says in the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov, Yigadleihu HaMelech Liyos Miyais Ben Yoni Milchamai. So the king made, can you imagine, he's like a Jew from a little village. And he was taken away because of a pogrom. And sometime later, I don't know how long this was, but he finds himself to be like the minister of defense in this Malchus of anti-Semites. He's the minister of defense. This is the Baal Shem Tov's father. Now what happened was, is that when that Mishnah Lamelech, the first owner, meaning that other minister, he apparently had a beautiful daughter, and the minister died, and he left in his will, and the king wanted it as well, to marry Rabbi Eliezer, even though he was already an old man, to marry Rabbi Eliezer to this woman. Now, some sort of a ceremony took place. Rabbi Eliezer was afraid to tell the truth. And of course, he would have nothing to do with this woman. He wouldn't approach her. He wouldn't touch her. And she asked, "What's the matter? Why is it you're my husband? Why is it that you're afraid to approach me?" And he said, if you will swear to me that you won't tell this to the king, I'll tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is that, as you know, I'm a Jew, and I'm married. I'm married, I was taken away in a pogrom, and I have a wife, and I will never ever go near anybody else. I'm still married, and I don't know if my wife is alive, and I'm a Jew, and I don't go with non-Jews, and I'll be very honest with you, you're a very nice lady, and I'm sorry about the wedding and everything, and, you know, give back the ring, or whatever it is, and finished. So she had sworn, and Baruch Hashem, she was a trustworthy person. Not only was she trustworthy, she was so overwhelmed by the kedusha, by the holiness of this person, that he wouldn't go near her. That how he kept himself all that time, that the story tells us that she gave piles and piles of gold and silver to Rabbi Eliezer and told him secretly that he could go away and she'll say something happened to go back. Don't worry, you're free, and go back to your village and go back to your wife. Sure enough, he began his journey home, and now he's a wealthy man. And along the way, what happened was, this is a Yiddish mazel, Here, for the first time in his life, he has a couple of prutas, and of course, a short distance from the palace, he was accosted by highwaymen, by robbers, what we would call now mugged, and that's what happened to him. He was mugged, and every single penny was taken from him. He had a little bit of a chalitzas hadas. Understandably, he felt a little bit upset about that, and how is he going to get home? And we're told in the Maisa, by the way, the Baal Shem Tov himself told this story. This is told by the Baal Shem Tov, that he met Eliyahu Hanavi, that he experienced Gili Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi told him that because of his great Kedusha, his Tahara, that he didn't succumb to his Yetzirah, to his evil inclination with that woman. As a result of that, and that's chus, he said the words that we have in the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov said, Yolid Ben, that you will go home, and he gave him some money, you will go home, and you will have with your wife a son, Sheyoyer Eina Yisrael, who will illuminate the eyes of the Jewish people. So all of Yekuya, and through him there will be fulfilled the Pasuk, Yisrael Asher Becha Espa'er, Yisrael, in whom I take great pride and joy. Hashem's glory and pride is through Yisrael. That's the name of Baal Shem Tov, of course. That would ultimately be the name, Yisrael Ben Elias, Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. And then he went home, and his wife was alive, and in this extreme old age, they had Yisrael Ben Eliezer, who we call the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov concluded this story by remarking that because of the exaltedness of his neshama, it wasn't possible that he should be brought into the world through the normal desires, physical desires of people from this world. Therefore, he was dafke, brought into the world in such a way, when his parents the Jewish people came to the world in such a way. To Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. The Baal Shem Tov said that he came into the world in a way without any typhus, without anything that was marred by any of the physicality, by anything of this world. And that is the most accepted version of the story of the Nais, of the miracle that led to the birth of the Baal Shem Tov. We also know the Baal Shem Tov said, it was a short time after his parents died, within a short time of each other again. We don't know the exact date, but the parents died a short time later. And the Baal Shem Tov said that he received the Tzava. This is the Tzava, the will. The last will and testament, the last thing that his father, Rabbi Eliezer, told him was, Ahuvi b'ni, my beloved son, Zos zochar tizkor, kol yimei chayecha. This you shall remember. Remember this all the days of your life. Shehashem itcha, that Hashem is with you. Lachem leisira mishum dover. Do not be afraid of anything. And the Baal Shem Tov said those were the last words that his father spoke to him, and that those words stayed with him his entire life. And that therefore there are many stories during his life when the Baal Shem Tov was up against unbelievable odds and all types of terrifying things that were challenging, that was sent from the other side, from the Sitra Achra, to obstruct the light of the Baal Shem Tov from entering into the world and infiltrating into the world. And the Baal Shem Tov always was mechazik himself. He strengthened himself, as we know from many of those stories, with the last words of his father, where his father told him, "Le'sira mishum davar, don't be afraid of anything or of anyone." So it comes out from here that this Rebbe Eliezer was not a simple person. We don't know anything else about him. He was not known as a scholar. He was not known as a scholar. But from this account that was told by the Baal Shem Tov himself, it's clear that he was not the poshut person. And we also know that from the record of the people of that town of Akkab, it says the following. It says, Sheyikara nefesh aviv ma'id beinehem. It's recorded that the people of the town, of the village, I have no idea how many people in that village, it's very small, but the people of that village, it says, valued the nefesh of the soul of his father. They had respect for Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, gomlu chesed imo. They showed kindness to the orphan. The Baal Shem Tov was an orphan somewhere. It seems that he was approximately 5 years old, 6 years old. He didn't have either parent. So the people of the town, says Gomlu Chesed Imo, they showed kindness to the Baal Shem Tov. The Yitnuay saw the Melamed, Shielamed Imo, and they gave him over to a Melamed. It's not clear where was he living, by whom was he living, but he was given over to a Melamed, to a Rebbe, to a teacher. You know, in those days it wasn't in a school building, that they were in different homes of different teachers. And he was given to a certain Melamed, and it says, in the record of the village, it says, V'hitzliach b'limudo ma'od. It says he was extremely successful in his studies. Now, we have that account, that the Baal Shem Tov was extremely successful, and it sounds like that despite the tragedy of the loss of his parents, he was growing up, it seems, he was developing into a fine young Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, it's also known that the Baal Shem Tov used to, this will be a little bit of chizik for some of the fellows here, that the Baal Shem Tov used to regularly cut school. He used to leave. He used to take his own personal trips into the forest, and he himself admitted this, and it was told by the people of that town that he used to go and be by himself very often, and he would leave the cheder. The matzav, let's try to understand, this doesn't mean that cutting school is ever justifiable, right? However, it should be understood that the matzav, the circumstances in the chadorim of those days were very different from the horrible circumstances that all of our boys are suffering from in their air-conditioned buildings, where sometimes the soda machine doesn't work. It was very, very different in those days. The rich children, the wealthiest children, had a mazel that usually were by Malamed that was semi-normal, sometimes even completely normal. And the conditions that they were learning in, there would be already, if the wealthier children were in a house by Malamed where there was fire, where there was wood for the fire, and there was an occasional snack, and so on. But the poor children, generally, the Malamed and the situation, if you look back in the historical descriptions that we have of the state of things in the villages in the Ukraine, in those days, what kind of cheder, what kind of a school, what experiences the Baal Shem Tov must have had in school, they're obviously very terrible from some of the things that he had said, and by the mere fact that he couldn't bear to be in cheder, that he used to take his flights out into the forest. He couldn't stand being there. He was at the bottom of the totem pole. Not only was he impoverished, not only didn't he have a penny, but he was also he was an orphan, and there was nobody to look out for him. And it seems just the lotion that the Baal Shem Tov once used, that his experiences were not favorable. They were not good. And that was not a happy time, of his life. However, we do have a famous episode that I've often said over here in the shul, and I've tried a number of occasions to give this story over the Baal Shem Tov from Simcha, at times of Simcha, Bar Mitzvahs, because it's a good vart, it's a good story to hear for any Bar Mitzvah Bochet to hear, but certainly for all of us. But briefly, the story is that one of those times when the Baal Shem Tov ran away from Cheder, when he left school, he couldn't bear it anymore, because the Rebbe was always screaming, and the wife was crazy, and the children were fighting, and the house was filthy. So Baal Shem Tov couldn't take, and he went to the forest. And Baal Shem Tov said over this Maisa, that when he came to the forest, he was standing there for a while, and he was crying for Yeshua, that he should have some sort of Yeshua, that is, what kind of a life does he have? And an old man came to him, and the old man called him by name, and the old man said, I want to give you a bracha, that you should have eyes to see. A naim lira, you should have eyes to see. And the Baal Shem Tov asked him, what do you mean by that? Who are you? And the man just said, you should have eyes to see. And he left. And the Baal Shem Tov never knew who he was, and he walked away. And then the Baal Shem Tov, it was time, you know, eventually he would wander on back to cheder, to school. And the Baal Shem Tov said that when he walked in, all of a sudden, when he looked at the Rebbe, the Rebbe was still screaming. But he understood that sometimes when a person goes through terrible difficulties and poverty and humiliation, that sometimes the person is no longer in control of his temper. And then the Baal Shem Tov saw that the wife, it's true that she was still extremely agitated and unattractive. Nevertheless, the Baal Shem Tov saw and understood what she's been through, and he saw the children, he saw the house in a different way. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that was a bracha that he received from Eliyahu HaNavi, that Jew must have been Eliyahu HaNavi, and that bracha helped him throughout his life, that he should be able to see, to have eyes to see, that if there are Jews who are acting in ways that are not the ways they shouldn't act, That to have eyes to see why is that? Why is that person acting that way? What's wrong? What's that person going through? And those were the eyes of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Tzaddikim said about Baal Shem Tov, that there's no Jew in the world who's capable of loving his own child the way the Baal Shem Tov loved the most wicked Russia. The Tzaddikim said that the Baal Shem Tov, there is no parent in the world, the Tzaddikim said, who could love a child as the Baal Shem Tov loved the worst Russia. And these are the eyes that the Baal Shem Tov had in the midst of all of the suffering. We have also, one of the oldest Makairis is a Sefer written by Rabbi Yehuda Leib Margolius called Beis Hamidus that tells about the Baal Shem Tov's early years. And in there I found the following. It says, now this sounds interesting because the conflicting report of him being a successful student, on the other hand it says, B'nesha darko haya lilmod kama yamim v'acharzos livroach mi Beis HaSefer. The derech of the Baal Shem Tov, doesn't say half much. The way of the Baal Shem Tov was to study for a few days and then to disappear from school. The chipsu achrov, and they would go looking for him. Umotzo so Yosef levado beyar, and they would find him sitting by himself in the forest. The heviro so od pam lemalamed, and they would schlep the Baal Shem Tov and bring him back to the malamed, to the teacher. The chain haya kama v'kama pa'amed, and so it happened many, many times. Hu hayo barech al hayar, v'nisyashu, militan oisem shuv l'mamamid. It happened so many times that finally one day he disappeared, he went off to the forest, and they stopped looking for him. They said, forget it, leave him alone. I'm going to go running to look for him. They left him there. He was expelled from school. That should also be a little chizik for the chevra, that if ever happened that you were asked to stay home or to leave class or something like that, or that they didn't want you back, you're in good company. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was expelled. He was kicked out of school, which contradicts a little bit the first report that says that he was maslich. Apparently that means he was maslich. He was brilliant. He was maslich in his studies, but a behavior record, or that part of the report card, he wasn't maslich. And he had to leave the cheder, which again is a hashgacha pratis, because it allowed the Baal Shem Tov to grow up with that fierce kind of independence that made him into the Baal Shem Tov, that he was able to be his own person, that there wasn't anything at all that was imposed upon him. Here you have an orphan that was expelled from school, that was left to care for himself, basically. So that was also, it's a terrible tragedy, but it was a mazel for the Jewish people, because he was able to become the Baal Shem Tov. Some of our greatest leaders, some of the greatest tzaddikim, were people who were not privileged to, or whatever that, I don't know if the word is privileged, but who were not schooled, who didn't receive a regular upbringing, a regular education, and they had to therefore reach deep within themselves to find out who the Ani, who that mysterious I was or is. So it says, therefore they didn't give Aisio some in a cheder, they kicked him out of cheder. The Yigdal Hayelet, now listen to this interesting sentence. The Yigdal Hayelet Shelo Kederach Kol Haaretz. And the child grew up not in the normal way of the land. We don't know what that means. He grew up in an abnormal way. Alone, left alone. He was just left alone. He was abandoned. He was running around. This is approximately the age of 9 or 10. We're talking about the time of 9 or 10 years old that the Baal Shem Tov was no longer allowed back into cheder, into school. Isn't it the village of Akkab?
I'm saying, where did he live, by someone's house?
It's not clear. It says, certainly he was cared for, he was taken care of. It doesn't say. One report says that he had a relative over there, but it's not clear. The next thing that we're told is the following. The Yaskir Atzmo, they didn't let him back into Cheder, but he hired himself to be Leah's behelfer, to be the bacher that would walk the little children to Cheder. He wasn't allowed in, but he would walk the little ones. The little ones, like the tiny tots. He was put in charge of the little ones. He got this job. I'm sure it wasn't a high-paying job. To take the children, to bring the little ones to school. And then he would take them to school. His job was to watch them all the time. He took them to school. And then they would take him to the Beis HaKnesses. He would take them to shul. Loimer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, to teach the little ones to say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, to answer Kaddish with them. Ukedusha V'Amen B'Kol Noim, to teach them to say out loud, with the children to say out loud the brachas and Kaddish, and to say things Kedusha. U'B'Chol Eis, and now he writes, U'B'Chol Eis Halichosu Matinokos Hayim Zamer Imahem B'Kol Noim U'B'Cheshek Rav. Whenever he would walk with the children, he would sing with them. In a very pleasant voice, with great longing for Hashem, he would sing with the little children. And the singing of the Baal Shem Tov with the little children rose very high up to the highest world. And there was great nachas, great joy in Shemayim. Like the joy that Hashem had from the songs of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that it was during this time when he was a behelfer, when he was walking the children, that it happened one time. Again, this is told to us in the Shivcha Baal Shem, that one time when he was going, that the Samach Mem, the evil one, because Hashem was having such delight in Shemayim, they were enjoying so much the Baal Shem Tov with the little children, how he was going with them and singing with them and teaching them to daven. So the other side, the Sitra Achra, sent a messenger disguised as a, this is what we're told in the Shivcha Baal Shem, disguised in the form of a ze'ev, of a wolf. And the children, and this wolf came to attack the children. And the children all started to run away. They all were screaming and they ran away. And the Baal Shem Tov at that time, the Baal Shem Tov said that he remembered what? The Tzava. He remembered what his father told him. His father didn't just tell him not to be afraid of any person. He says, don't be afraid of anything. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was mechazik himself. In the meantime, the wolf ran away. And he, I don't know how he did this. The children, of course, were all terrified. He convinced the parents that the children are going to be okay. And Baal Shem Tov went again with the children, and this time he took a stick with him, and when he went with the children to cross through the woods, this wolf came after them and started to attack the children. The Baal Shem Tov went and gave a clap with a stick, and it says in the Shivach of Baal Shem Tov that the animal died immediately, and there was a whole commotion in the town because there was because they found there the corpse of a certain either a galach, a machashev, some sort of a priest that was dabbling in sorcery and witchcraft, that he was lying there dead. The parents were impressed with that, because the children said it was the Rebbe, not the Rebbe, it was Yisroelke, they were his friend. Well, they didn't call him Rebbe, he was a friend. Yisroelke, he gave a clap. Now, I'm not sure if they believed it so much, but anyway, he was promoted. And after that, since he had such hatzlacha, he was given the job to be the shomer of the Beis HaMedrash. That means to be some sort of a shamus, to put the chairs in order and to sweep up and to clean in the Beis HaMedrash. He was very disturbed about that. He didn't have a choice. This wasn't a matter of what he wanted to do. He wanted to be with the children, but instead he was given this job to be the shomer of the Beis HaMedrash. And then Rav Margolius tells the following: V'chein hoya darko kol zman shahayu Yoshua Beis HaMedrash Na'urim. As long as the Talmidei Chachamim were awake in the shul in the Beis HaMedrash, as long as they were awake, hoya yoshe, he would go to sleep. Ukshi yoshna, when they would go to sleep, when the Talmidei Chachamim would go to sleep, Azayin near, then the Baal Shem Tov would stay awake. The Baal Shem Tov would wake up for Avod Avodoso Avoid Atama, and he would serve Hashem with learning and with davening that nobody should know about this. Again, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, when he was older, apparently he was asked when was he learning when he was a child. So when they all thought that he was somebody that was just a very sweet strange fellow, an orphan, and he would never learn when they were awake. When they were learning, he would make himself into like a nobody. And when they would go to sleep, then he would spend the entire time learning and davening. And they thought that he was always, that he was a fashlufin, that he was a stam. They used to sleep. I've told that to some of the parents of the boys here also, that they're also, when the parents are sleeping, the boys are all up learning. The next stage, and this is the next stage that we know about, during this period, when we're talking about mitzvah age, a little bit older, those years between 13 and 20 sometime, a momentous event took place in his life, that contact was made with another one of the mysterious tzaddikim, who was known to be one of the leaders of the Lamed Vav tzaddikim, a man by the name of Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov, there's a great deal of controversy. Who was this Rabbi Adam? That's a very unusual name, Rabbi Adam. And Rabbi Adam, he's referred to in some of this form as Rabbi Adam Rupshitz, which would later become famous because of Rabbi Naftali from Rupshitz. Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov. Now, what we know about this is as follows, that this tzaddik, Rabbi Adam, who lived quite a distance from Akop, from the village, that he told his son that he has ksavim, Rabbi Adam, this great mysterious tzaddik, was a great Kabbalist, a great Mekubal. He told his son that he has certain rozin daraisa, secrets of Torah, the deepest secrets, ksavim, in other words, manuscripts that he wrote, that must be given le'ish echad ha'nikra Yisrael ben Eliezer, that the son must deliver personally to the hands of Yisrael ben Eliezer, v'hu kiben yudalet shanim, who is approximately 14 years old. Because these teachings, these manuscripts, these Kabbalistic teachings have a connection to the Shayrish, to the root of the soul of this child, Yisrael ben Eliezer, and Rabbi Adam told them what village where to go. So the son went, expecting to find some amazing young scholar. He went to the village of Akkab looking for, he asked, is there anybody here, Yisrael ben Eliezer? And the only Yisrael ben Eliezer of that age was the Baal Shem Tov, who was, as usual, putting away siddurim and sweeping up in the shul. And this son of Rabbi Adam spoke to the Baal Shem Tov. He didn't say who he was, he just started talking to him. And he found him to be a completely simple, sweet little orphan. And there was nothing to, he didn't see what his father, he couldn't understand what was going on. But his father told him this. So he decided to watch the Baal Shem Tov from the side over the course of the next couple of weeks. And he was sort of watching and taking along. The son of Rabbi Adam was apparently a great tzaddik himself. And he realized after some time, I guess during those nights when everybody else was sleeping, this son of Rabbi Adam realized that, in fact, this is the Yisrael ben Eliezer who his father was talking about. And he came to the Baal Shem Tov and he said, I don't know who you are, but my father does. And I have manuscripts that my father said are connected to the root of who you are, to the root of your soul that you will need in order to continue with your avoda, with your service of Hashem. And the son gave these writings to the Baal Shem Tov, and we know that very shortly afterwards, that the son of Rabbi Adam had a tragic death. And there are some details of that I don't want to go into, but he, after the death of Rabbi Adam's son, when the Baal Shem Tov had these writings, that the Baal Shem Tov decided it was time to leave his hometown, to leave the village of Akkab. And he began his journey, his wanderings through many, many villages. It's almost impossible to believe how many places the Baal Shem Tov slept through in the miserable countryside over there, where he went until finally he ended up in Mezhbiz, which is not too impressive a place either. I mean, I don't know how many of you have been there, but I was zeichet to be there until the Baal Shem Tov finally ended up in Mezhbiz. But the question is that we know that he headed in the direction towards Galicia. When he left Akkab. The question is, who was this Rabbi Adam? And there's been a great amount of discussion among scholars, among tzaddikim, family of the Baal Shem Tov, descendants of his, who was Rabbi Adam? There are some traditions, the Chernobyl tradition, which is very old. The tradition of Chernobyl is that this Rabbi Adam was actually the grandfather of the great and holy tzaddik, the Moreh Na'im, Reb Nochum Chernobyler, that his grandfather, the grandfather of the famous Moreh Na'im, was Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov. There's a tradition that's alive this day among the Chassidim who come from from Chernobyl Square and so on, that the Moreh Na'im was the grandson of this mysterious Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov. In the Masorah of Chabad, in the writings of Chabad, the Baal Shem Tov actually met Rabbi Adam. It's not clear in the Masorahs of Chernobyl. It's not, and from Mezrich, it's not clear that the Baal Shem Tov physically met Rabbi Adam, but in the Masorah of Chabad, the Baal Shem Tov did meet, and that there were letters that were exchanged, that were sent from the Baal Shem Tov back and forth to this Rabbi Adam, who in the Chabad Svarim is called Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov Mirabshitz. One of the great, great Talmidei Chachamim of our times, of this century, was a Jew by the name of Rav Reuven Margolius. I don't know if you heard of Rav Reuven Margolius. He's the author of the Sefer on Sanhedrin called Margolius Hayah, on Sanhedrin, on Masechta Sanhedrin. He wrote many other Svarim. He was a genius of the first order. He was not a Rav, he was not a Rosh Hashiva, he was not a Rebbe, he was the librarian in the Mosad Rav Kook. He was a librarian. Rav Reuven Margolius. A huge Talmud Chacham. Rav Reuven Margolius was particularly interesting because he had the traditional learning, the great traditional learning. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, respected by all the Talmud Chacham. But in addition to that, he was also fascinated by modern scholarship. So his Sfarim are a wonderful blend of, you have a tzaddik, a true Talmud Chacham with all the lamdas, but in the way of scholarship also with a very careful, painstaking scholarship. And he decided that he would undertake an investigation into this Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov. And the conclusion of Rav Reuven Margolius is fascinating. I don't think the Chernobylers were too pleased with it, but the conclusion of Rabbi Reuven Margolius was that in fact, this Rabbi Adam was the author of one of the famous works of on the Rambam, a commentary on the Rambam, that everybody from Yeshiva has heard of, called the Mekeves HaMishnah. The name of the Mekeves HaMishnah was Rabbi Avraham Moshe David. Av based in Avruatin. He was Rabbi Avraham Moshe David. That stands for Adam. Avraham Moshe David. The first three letters spell Adam. And he's the author of the Mekeves HaMishnah. and that he was known as Rabbi Adam. And in fact, Rabbi Reuven Margolis points out that in the introduction to the Mekeves HaMishnah, to that great work, the important sefer on the Rambam, that's learned at the Yom and all the yeshivas, that in that, in the introduction there, it is brought down that the Gedolim, that the great people of the generation called Rabbi Avraham Moshe David by the name Rabbi Adam. Rabbi Adam. Now, Rabbi Reuven Margolis says that we know that the name Adam is kim'at, not found among Jews, the name Adam. By non-Jews, the name Adam is a popular name, but by Jews, it's hardly a name Adam. That's itself a different story. Why is it that we don't see so much the name Adam? But he was called Rabbi Adam, and Rabbi Reuven Margolis also indicated that this Rabbi Adam, the Mekeves HaMishnah, was Isaac in healing, that he was also involved in healing. And so the people who were called Balei Shem, the reason that the Baal Shem was called the Baal Shem, the master of the good name, is that these were tzaddikim who used Shemos, who were using names of Hashem and Kameis and certain Kabbalistic formulations to help people, to heal people. The Baal Shem was a great healer. In addition to being a great tzaddik and great Talmud Chacham, the Baal Shem was a great healer. And it's clear, Rabbi Magalis says, that this Rabbi Adam, the author of the Mekeves HaMishnah, was also Oseik in Refuas. And therefore, it could be that he was known as Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov, Nevertheless, that's basically the information that we have as far as this Rabbi Adam is concerned, and the Baal Shem Tov later on in his life refused to give any more information as to the identity of that person. Next thing we know, it seems that Rabbi Adam commanded the Baal Shem Tov not to reveal his identity, not Rabbi Adam, but the Baal Shem Tov should not reveal to the world who he truly was, until he was 36 years old. So until he was 36 years old, the Baal Shem Tov went through unbelievable suffering, indescribable humiliation and suffering, by not revealing who he was. And not only that, but it's apparent that he was told by Rabbi Adam that he should give the appearances of being a lo yutzlach. Of being a lo yutzlach, how do you say lo yutzlach? A schlepper, a nobody, an unsavory character, a nobody.
Ne'er-do-well,
right. So the Baal Shem Tov created this reputation about himself and went about like a schlepper until he was 36 years old, like a batlan who wasn't learning and people didn't see him learning and odd jobs from place to place. We'll see, we'll talk about this a little bit more next week. But there was a time that he was working with lime in the quarries. I mean, all kinds of difficult, menial jobs that the Baal Shem Tov was Isaac in during these years. I'm sure all this also contributed to the Baal Shem Tov becoming who he was. At any rate, the great question that we're left with right now, and we'll be able to just start with a little bit tonight, how was it possible for the Baal Shem Tov to marry his wife, the Tzadekis Maris Chana, who was the sister of Hagoyin HaKadosh Rav Gershon Kitover? You have to realize, The Baal Shem Tov was seen in the eyes of the Amcha of the people as being a schlepper, as being a nobody. And he married the sister of one of the Gedolei Hador, who was a fierce enemy of his brother-in-law until the brother-in-law's 36th birthday. Rav Gershon Kitover, who was zoiche to be by his tzion in Tveria, he's buried in Tveria. Rav Gershon Kitover was the brother-in-law of the Baal Shem. And the Baal Shem Tov married Chana during that time of his posing as an ignoramus. And the question is, how could such a thing have happened? How did the Baal Shem Tov pull that off? How did he marry Maris Chana? So the story is one of the most beautiful, most interesting stories in Chassidus, which in the pages that I handed out, I wanted, because of its beauty and because of its interesting nature, that we should read it inside together. And that and when I handed out, it's the last two pages, 79 and 80 on it. It's Habal Shem Tov V'Yimeha Hastara. This is from the Shivcha Habal Shem. This is from the book, the in praise of the Habal Shem Tov, the Shivcha Habal Shem Tov. This is very famous and very touching. Where it says Habal Shem Tov V'Yimeha Hastara, the Habal Shem Tov during the days of concealment. This is straight from the Shivcha Baal Shem. Straight from the Shivcha Baal Shem. Misap al-kach Shivcha Baal Shem. The Vayelich Misha. And the Baal Shem Tov left Meheir Akab. He calls it a city. It was a city. He left the city of Akab. Lekehilas Mucha, Lekehilas Kodesh Brod. Now, not far from Akkub was a big city, the city of Brod. V'naz Hashem Melamed Lahoil. He became a Melamed, a Rebbe for little children. V'yimtza Chayim Be'enei Kulam. Now, this is the beginning of his career. Listen how interesting. V'hoyolam ben Muflug Ad Ma'oid. He was great. He was a great Lamdan. He was great in learning. At the first stage, apparently this is before his exile was imposed upon him, or his concealment was imposed upon him, the Baal Shem Tov became known in Brod as being an extremely wise man, as being a great Talmud Chacham. But more than a Talmud Chacham, he was known, he had the reputation initially as being a Chacham, as being exceedingly wise. So that the people of Brod would come to him with their disputes, with their problems, for advice. He was so clever that when people would come to him with fights, with disputes, I was supposed to mention, but Avi asked me to mention at the beginning. I wanted to mention that now I remember that the Shia tonight is being given Lezeichet Nishmas Haish, now remind me the name. Yetta Falka Bashmulei, and Zeichen the Shmas and the Nisham Shataka have an Aliyah, and she's in the Schus of the Baal Shem Tov and all the Tzaddikim, the Nisham should be Melitza Yosha for the whole Mishpacha. So what happens is that people would come with the biggest arguments, and they would leave. When they would leave, they were happy. Everybody was happy. The Zaka, the guy who had to pay was happy. They were all happy. He said things that were able, he was able to find a way to everybody. Now, Rav Gershon Kitteva, this is so ironic, because Rav Gershon Kitteva doesn't know that was the fellow who everybody liked back in Brod. We'll see what happened. So Rav Gershon Kitteva was the Rav, was the Avbezdin over there in Brod. Now, the father of Rabbi Gershon Kitever, Rabbi Avram, had a fight with somebody in town. So the two of them, the Rabbi Avram and the fellow he was having a fight with, decided they were going to go to Brod to settle. So when they came to Brod, so they were told that there's a certain Jew over here who's a very wise man, and he's very righteous. When people come to him for a decision, they leave, they're both happy. So he said, let's go and see this man. Let's go and see this person. When the Sadr is Tano Seinu, Vim La Yutav Bedine Maloso as Nisal Kila Kedisha Brod, Vishamalat Soso Yavolofan. They did that to Miyad Kishabar, Rab Marina, Rab Ram of Tebal Shemtev. When Rab Avram, listen how interesting this is. So now you have the father of Geshen Kitever. That means that this person is going to be the Baal Shemtev's father in law. So Rab Avram has a fight, and he comes to the Baal Shemtev. When the Baal Shemtev saw Rab Avram, Ro of Ruach HaKadosh, he saw with his Ruach HaKadosh, with his divine inspiration, the Baal Shem Tov saw, Shebito he bazugo. He looked at Rabbi Avraham and he saw, this is my, hey dad! He saw, this is my future father-in-law, that he has to marry, Now, when Rabbi Avraham came, so he came to meet the Baal Shem Tov, who's this interesting fellow that people come to. And the Baal Shem Tov, now in those days, in order to get a good girl, so he had to, this Rabbi Avraham was a Lamdan, was a Talmud Chacham, so the Baal Shem Tov knew that he had to impress him by saying over some Lamdas and Rambam and saying over some fancy things. So the Baal Shem Tov right away, he said over Lamdas and Rambam and everything, and this Rabbi Avraham was taken completely by the Baal Shem Tov. Then Rabbi Avraham came, you know, with the other fellow, and they brought their complaints that they had the fight that they had between them. This Rav Avram was astounded by how the Baal Shem Tov came to a decision. And he was in love with the Baal Shem Tov. He found out that the Baal Shem Tov was single. He needs to get married. Well, Rav Avram had a daughter, Chana, who was divorced from someone. So Rav Avram came to the Baal Shem Tov and he said, La Baal Shem Tov, I've heard that you're single, that you'd like to get married, you're marriageable age. Perhaps you would want to marry my daughter. But Yoshev Lo, the Baal Shem Tov said, Toiv Hadavar, it's fine. The Baal Shem Tov said, I want you to know that there are many of the fathers of the community who want me to marry their daughter. Therefore, it must be hidden, that it should not become known to anybody. I can't be chutzpahdik to them, because they were so good to me in the city. They treated me well. If you would care for this, if you would want, as I nichtav kishurei hatanoim lamazotav, let's write up between us. Tanoim, I don't have any parents. Let's write tanoim, a commitment, a wedding, a commitment to get engaged. Lamazotav biyachidus vegamzais ani kaifli mochem, and I repeat, shetasu shidduchim mi imtarasi vechachmasi. And I'm repeating that you're making shidduch with me because of my learning and my wisdom. And I don't want you going to tell anybody about this, about who I am. I just want you to write on the tanoim. Don't write over here, the great scholar and sage. Don't write on the document. Just write, what? Just write on the paper, Moreinu Rabbi Yisrael ben Moreinu Eliezer. Do not write any praises of me. Which was common in those days. If you had a son-in-law who was a Talmud Chacham. No, just write my name, Eliezer ben Yisrael ben Eliezer. I said, "Achrish and Nixra Napsho ben Napsho." Hiskim lekol devar. Rabbi Avram agreed to the whole thing. And they wrote up Tanaim, and the agreement was made. And it wasn't yet; they weren't going to get married yet, but the agreement was made. Now we're going to have to stop here only because I have to go speak someplace at 9 o'clock, and I first have that mar. So we'll stop here. The document has been signed by the two parties, and the Baal Shem Tov did not show it to anybody, and he would hold on to that for dear life, because later on, he was going to come to claim his wife, and when there was going to be terrible arguments about how, when Rav Gershon Kitov was going to say, who do you think you are, and he was going to take out a signed document with his father's handwriting, that's how the Baal Shem Tov ultimately would marry Maris Chana, and the rest is history. So we'll continue with that next week. If I can ask a time...